Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the fuck up.
You can always use scarcity. And again, it has to do with copywriting. And it's about water version. We are double more motivated to avoid loss than to gain something that's deeply rooted in our nature. But what we always tell people, if you say yes to me, if you click here, if you buy now, you will gain XYZ. Framing should be, if you don't do this, you will keep on losing, you will keep on missing out on XYZ.
Ever heard the old marketing expression, slow and steady wins the race? Me neither. That's why Wix Studio is built to help web agencies and enterprises scale smarter and faster. Step into Wix Studio to see more. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Millennials. Today, I have a very special guest, Bass. He is the business partner of the world-famous Robert Cialdini. And I know you guys know Robert Cialdini. He's also the CEO of Cialdini Institute. So he's going to drop some marketing psychology bombs for us today. But I'll let him introduce himself right now and how he got into marketing. And then we will get into our conversation today.
Oh, great. Thank you, Daniel, for this kind introduction. And fantastic to be on your show. Love that. And indeed, the first question, how do I got into marketing and human behavior and human psychology? Well, there's actually a funny story. When I was in my early 20s, I was actually a financial planner. And I bought my first house at that time. And it was a newly constructed house. And I needed a kitchen. And I'm originally from the Netherlands. And our neighboring country is Germany. I figured out that kitchens in Germany were cheaper and better serviced than in the Netherlands. So I built a business bringing them to the Dutch market. And I was very lucky. It was the early days of online marketing, so no lead generation from any competitors. But I didn't have a lot of money, but I also didn't have a lot of competition. So we started off, and that worked actually pretty well with lead generation. But I realized early one thing. If these big chains, which have multiple kitchen shops, go online, which they will, they can out-advertise me like this. So I need to work smarter, more efficient than they will be able to do. And my answer was behavioral science. I made more conversions on my ad spends. I generated more leads, more sales on my advertising budget, on my marketing campaigns. And in 2016, we built that company to approximately 25 million euros revenue a year, and then I sold it. So that's, in a nutshell, the journey, why I got fascinated, and then I learned everything there was to learn with human behavior. And when I sold the company, then I thought, what do I do next? And I loved helping people. I loved telling about behavioral science. So I knew Dr. Cialdini had certification programs, and I applied, and I became one of his 12 Cialdini certified trainers in the world at that time. And here we are now.
I love the journey of figuring out a problem, then finding out solutions as you went. But I want to go into the conversation today, and I know we have a cool topic today of what most marketers don't know about Cialdini principles. So I want to go into, what are those principles that people do not know?
That's a great one, great topic, great decision. Because I think most marketers, they know social proof. We need to have reviews out there, or scarcity, if something has limited availability, whether it's in numbers or time. Marketers are pretty familiar with that. Or authority, show logos for companies you work for. We always say, These Cialdini, Dr. Cialdini's principles, they sound misleadingly easy, but they are very powerful. With a small change, you are able to make a big impact. How to do that? There's the magic. And that's what is a great topic for today. And perhaps let me introduce one thing already, a tip. So Dr. Cialdini has seven principles: reciprocity, liking, unity, social proof, authority, consistency, and scarcity. And let me pick liking. We say yes to people we like, but how do you make people like you online? There's not really a human connection. Well, recently, there was a study done among 6,700 A-B tests, and they defined 21 components or tricks or principles, how you want to call it, that were most effective in boosting conversion. Well, the first fun fact, the top five were all Cialdini principles. So that still shows how powerful it is. He came out with a book in 1984, and still 40 years later, is still top of the list. What about liking? One in those top five was, how do you create liking online with a welcomes message? Welcoming people on your website. Welcome to Daniel Murray's podcast. That mass opening sentence boosted conversions. A very simple and small change, but most marketers don't apply this knowledge. So this is one thing that I really like to share today.
There's so many of the principles that Cialdini has that you just have to figure out what works for your business. It's not that reviews are necessarily going to be the one thing. It's not necessarily that an expert opinion is going to be that one thing, but there is a way that you can apply it to your business. But that's why testing is so important when it comes to this. Social proof is going to work for your business. Liking is going to work. Consistency is going to work. It's just how you apply those principles for your industry or your business or where you at is the key. But I want to go into more little tips and tricks that you have that people should know.
Yeah, I completely agree there. And it's about a systematic approach, not doing a trick. It's not, put here some reviews and then conversion will explode or boost enormously. It's doing things on a way that you really know what you are doing, and then you can get these amazing results. Maybe let's stay to reviews for one trick. And a case study that comes to mind is a case study from NYX. It's a makeup website. And they did a test. So you had the product and there was a buy button. And below the buy button was nothing. That was the control group. And they had a sentence, 71 beauties have viewed this product today. Apparently, people are looking at this product. That's what social proof tells us. But is that the desired behavior from the web shop? Probably is not viewing products, but buying products. It worked. Transactions increased by 33%. 71 beauties have viewed this product today. Now they did something brilliant. They changed one word. 71 beauties have purchased this product today. That's the desired behavior. That's what they want. You would think rationally, but that's not the desired behavior what our visitors want. But it's our subconscious mind that drives decisions. So this boosted transactions with 100%. This is what we call a small big. Small change, big outcome. Going from plus 33 to plus 100, that's a 300% difference in revenue. And my tip is, social proof is more than only reviews. You can design these super powerful sentences, and you only need three basically simple criteria. First one is write to your audience, to those people. Like they say, 71 beauties. Beauties. When you are on an NYX website, probably you want to be beautiful. So did that they did brilliant. Criteria one, write as similar others to your visitors. The second, describe the desired behavior you have. Not have viewed, have purchased. And the third criteria, use exact numbers. It weren't 70 beauties, it was 71 beauties. Exact numbers boost trust. So with those three simple criterias, all the listeners now can create these powerful sentences.
And that's a good example. And that, like, if they change, like, let's say that was a top selling product that might be selling out soon, viewers actually could have been a good thing, because the desired behavior is scarcity of the product. So they don't want to lose out on having that thing. So it's all what happens at that moment. At that moment, they want more people to buy. So, and that product is not like a scarce product. So you have to tell people that there's a purchase. But let's say, like, some of the websites where they just dropped a new line and the new line sells out really fast, like 71 viewers could be like, oh my goodness, people are viewing this right now. I need to buy the product today. Otherwise, it's going to sell out. So it's just what happens in the state of what happened as well.
And I love that from multiple angles. It shows that these principles can amplify each other. Because if 71 beauties, in this case, 70 people are watching, but there are only 10 available, now it's social proof plus scarcity, and people move even more quicker in your direction. Two components that come to mind right away. One is the ethical part. What we always advocate for is you need to use these principles ethically. So don't create false scarcity. You can always use scarcity. I will give that example in a second. If you don't have limited numbers or limited time availability, you still can use scarcity. Another thing I think most marketers don't know yet about Cialdini principles. So the ethical part is important. And indeed, scarcity is a huge driver. Think about booking.com. They use this all the time. This many people are watching. This are the amount of hotel rooms available. And I know for a fact that booking.com, that is true information. We did consulting there, and they have a very intelligent system. So I love your comment that you can combine these principles and it will create even a bigger impact.
I've only got 30 seconds to tell you about Wix Studio, the web platform for agencies and enterprises. So here's a few things you can do in 30 seconds when you manage projects on Studio. Work in sync with your team on one canvas. Reuse templates, widgets, and sections across sites. Create a client kit for seamless handovers. And leverage best-in-class SEO defaults across all your Wix sites. Time's up, but the list keeps going. Step into Wix Studio to see more. It's not about tricking your audience. It's about using what is true of every human behavior to just make sure that you are boosting conversions in a good way. Because if 71 people actually purchased, it's fine to like put that. But if like two people purchased and you're telling everybody 180 people purchased, that is false advertising and you don't want to do that. But if 71 people purchased, 71 beauties purchased that product, then yeah, you're doing good. Like, you're just stating a fact that happened with your product.
You actually raise to awareness what is already in front of you. But by raising it to awareness, suddenly your visitors change their behavior. So 100% more visitors actually start buying something. And I know for this case, it was true information. That's why it was completely ethical. Maybe a quick sidestep there on the ethics part. We have three questions to say that are the minimum standards you should ask yourself if a request is ethical. The first one, is it true? Are we not lying? And the second, is this a natural way of presenting it? For example, sometimes you see, well, we have a sale and the old price is $1 and the new price is also $1 or 99 cents. Then you don't really have a deal or a sale, but people point it out, so more people move in your direction, but it's not natural to do it that way. And the third is, and I like this question the most, is it wise? If people would say yes now to my request, will they say yes in the future? Because what we say, these principles elevate your short-term success, but also your long-term effect. And if you do it unethically and your clients will find out, then social media will explode probably, and it will harm your long-term success.
It also makes sense because you saw like a rise on dropshippers for a while, and now like the fall of a lot of dropshippers because they're not building a brand. They're just doing quick tactics to make sure that someone buys. And some of them may have been ethical and some of them may, I'm not calling anybody out, but some may be ethical, some might be unethical. But then people who actually want to build a sustaining brand understand that, like, I mean, one of the biggest brands in the world, Amazon, has it all over their page. So you could see scarcity, you could see social proof, you could see everything on their page. So, I mean, if the biggest brand in the world is doing this and they're testing crazily.
Well, everything, right?
Yeah. So if they're doing it, then, I mean, and they're doing it, if something's on sale, it's on sale. If people bought it, they bought it. If there's 3,400 reviews that are 5-star, it's 3,400 reviews that are 5-star. So
exactly. And that's built a lot of trust over the years, of course, in their brand. And that's why they could grow to the Amazon they are now today. There's actually a fun study. No, actually a jury was established in 2022 and 2023. And there were the top 100 entrepreneurs in the world, like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, Mark Cuban. They voted for the best business book of all time. And like you can imagine now, the winner was Influence from Dr. Cialdini, both in 2022 and in 2023. So these top entrepreneurs, they know the power of influence, what we are discussing today, and that helped them to build the huge businesses they have today. So I think that's a sign that, okay, mastering these principles and applying them really helps to boost success.
What do you think are some other ones that people don't know, like about you?
I think reciprocity is a nice one because I know a lot of marketers, they think, okay, we build an ebook or a white paper and people can download it, but they still have to enter their email address. But we say reciprocity is activated or triggered if you give something. If I have to give you first my email address, it's a reward condition. Rewards work. Gifts are more powerful. So that's often something people mix up. And then it comes nowadays with so many free content available. Even if you just gave it as a download, it's not perceived as a gift anymore. It's perceived as an entitlement. The whole world is giving me free information. So the fact that you do it is not even perceived as a gift anymore. So it doesn't trigger reciprocity. How can you trigger reciprocity as marketeers? I like to say, do it in copy. Nobody thinks about reciprocity using it in their copy. Let me give you an example. And it's about a research done in Great Britain for organ donation. And that's a thing in governments, of course. And some governments changed it because you have to opt in to be an organ donor. Some governments changed it. You have to opt out if you don't want to be an organ donor. But that's quite controversial, right? So all governments got a lot of comments about what are you doing. So in Great Britain, the British behavioral team of the government faced that challenge. And they had an online page and basically their message was, please help others become an organ donor. And they had a opt-in rate of 2.3%. Now they changed it using reciprocity in their copy. So it became, if you needed an organ transplant, would you have one? If so, please help others. Conversion went from 2.3 to 3.2. Doing the math on statistics, this is a 39.1% increase in conversions. So my tip for our listeners here today is think what you already give and raise it to awareness in your copy or if they would use it in other circumstances, like with the organ donation, raise that to awareness. And these are simple lines. What I love about these principles, to make these small changes with big effects, they're often costless. Changing a word is almost costless if you know which word to change. But my tip is, don't find reciprocity in nowadays online marketing, in white papers, free videos. It's almost that people feel it as an entitlement. But think about copywriting and how you raise to awareness the fact what you already give to them and what they already received, and use don't slides to boost conversions.
That also shows like the power of copywriting too, and why people should spend more time like learning. Not only that's why copywriting and psychology are just such a hand-in-hand art and science, because you have to be a great copywriter, you got to understand human emotions, why people buy, why psychology. And if you just changed one or two words in copy to just add some psychological principle, like one of the influence principles, like you said before, like changing 71 viewers to beauties, is it like that's one word that changed the whole perspective of copy. But that one word just makes people feel like they're part of something, they're part of a group, they're part of people who like get them, and you add something more, like they feel like a sense of belonging just because you added that one word.
Exactly. You speak right to their heart, and you speak to their unconscious brain, which will trigger the decision making, as we know from Nobel Prize winning research, for example, from Daniel Kahneman. So indeed, I believe copywriting is such an important tool in marketing that everybody should know how at least to integrate these principles in their copywriting, because one word could have such a big impact on your outcome.
I like the point that you said, like giving a white paper and you having an email and you're giving a white paper isn't really giving. It's really they're getting a reward for whatever you say. But that's what it shows about the value of free content marketing. If you just put out free stuff, basically like that's like you're creating subconscious reciprocity, because you're giving so much value to your audience that's free that they feel like a need to you because you're giving so much value to them. That's why like gating stuff could actually hinder your progress. Just wait until you've given so much value that they're like, oh, I've learned so much from this person, I want to get something for free.
Exactly. I always say, love that day. I always say, be aggressive. Not be aggressive in sales, be aggressive in value sharing. Because that will build reciprocity. But only one video for free, that's what feels nowadays as the entitlement. I can get that one video, but continuously providing value, that drives reciprocity indeed.
Well, one thing you all do well at Cialdini Institute, but I think, and you could tell people, is like, and I think this is a source of reciprocity too, but if you have something that is truly value add, like a free course, like you guys have free courses on psychology courses that people can, and anybody who wants to learn psychology, you should go take their courses. But it's a free course that's super value add, then giving my email feel and you giving it to me for free feels like reciprocity. But like a white paper, it's hard. Like Cialdini really has expertise and all these stuff to prove that this is a value add course, and you giving my email is fine.
I don't mind. Exactly. And then the value is connected. You present more value in exchange for the email. Plus, we need the email to deliver our course to somewhere. So then it becomes also, it's also a functional step. But often these are lead magnets, the white papers. And then it's a reward condition. We just want to share the value. You get a lot of value. Thank you for mentioning it. So people indeed can also use the link under your podcast, Daniel. We have a free persuasion power training for marketers, especially where we have multiple tips that they will get. And also because it's the mission of our institute. We Our mission is not let's make a lot of money. Our mission is let's make people more successful as a professional, happier as a person. The consequence is money. Again, be aggressive with value. Sales will follow. And that's what science tells us. That's what the market tells us nowadays.
People are just impatient with results, and that's the problem. And also, I mean, I don't harp at and I don't criticize anybody who are impatient, because I get this venture capital pressure, there's marketing goal pressure, there's all this pressure. But the businesses that do sustain for a long time are the businesses that are aggressive with value, like you're saying, and then eventually they're willing to get the value down the road when that person has built a trust and understands that this person is an expert in the industry, and now I'm willing to give my money to that person.
So we do one more tip, Daniel.
Yeah, let's do one more tip for everybody so they can come away with something great.
Cool. And then I like to use the principle of scarcity. It's the most powerful external driver to put people into action. When something is scarce, we want it more. Fun fact, we don't perceive the product different. We just want it more. But if you don't have a product that is limited in availability, in numbers, or in time, I claim you can always use scarcity. And again, it has to do with copywriting. And it's about loss aversion. We are double more motivated to avoid loss than to gain something. That's deeply rooted in our nature. But what we always tell people, if you say yes to me, if you click here, if you buy now, you will gain X, Y, Z. Framing should be, if you don't do this, you will keep on losing. You will keep on missing out on X, Y, Z. And let me give you a study done in California. It was a study done to people got an opt-in for, they got a research from their house how they could save more energy. And at the end, there was a presentation of the report, and there was changed only one sentence in the whole process. One sentence was the last sentence. It was, if you buy our recommendations, you will save $50 on energy per month. The other sentence was, if you don't buy our recommendations, you will keep on losing $50 per month. The difference, almost 50% more yeses in the second one. How can everybody, all the listeners today, start using scarcity in an ethical way? Is not telling what people have to win if they say yes to your request. Tell them what they keep on missing out or keep on losing if they don't say yes to your request.
A lot of things have to be time bound, because a lot of people can't think too far in the future. That's why, like, when you say like if you save today, you'll be a millionaire in 60 years. Yeah. Like, people don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They care about today. But if you say like something along the lines like, in the next year, you will be X, Y, and Z, or blah, 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 like, or you will have lost on the potential gains of X, Y, and Z in the future. And if you didn't do it in this year, that changes their framing to like more realistic, because humans, beings can't think so far in the future. So you have to be.
It's about urgent satisfaction in the human behavior. Preferable, we want the satisfaction yesterday, if that was possible. Yeah.
They probably could also say, like, if you did this 12 months ago, you would have like saved $600. Like, do you want to, like, and if you miss out on the next 12 months, like, you could be missing out on
indeed. So it's about that.
Yes. Like, you just tell them like what they're missing out on, like missed out on already as well. So,
right.
I know we're coming out of time, but I want to ask you one question that I ask everybody in this podcast too, but what is a marketing hill you would die on?
I don't believe there's a hill to die on, actually. I believe that knowing about behavioral science, we can overcome any, we can climb any hill that we need to climb on.
I mean, I will plus one. Like I always tell people that, like, if I can go back and start over my career today, like, I wish that I, like, just focused on learning, like, behavioral science, human beings, and stuff like that. Because what marketing really is just helping humans and connecting with humans. And all that comes down to understanding humans, and all that becomes is understanding the human minds and why people make decisions. And you'll be such a better marketer if you understand that. And I think that's why I wanted Bass to come on. I know he also, we have something in the show notes that he'll tell you about that where you guys should check out. It's a free course that marketers could take to learn behavioral science. And if you're any point in your career, you should be learning about more and more about behavioral science. So Bass, I know, is anything that you want to, where people could find what you're doing, what Cialdini Institute's doing, this is your time to tell that.
Great. If you want to find out more about what we're doing, go to cialdini.com, and you can get even certified by Dr. Cialdini if you really want to dive deep into humans psychology and influence and persuasion in an ethical way. Go to cialdini.com and explore our possibilities. Feel always free to contact us. And it was great being on your show, Daniel. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, and I hope to do a part two, because there's so much I wanted to ask you, but I know we have limited time today. So for everybody who loves this episode, just hit me up if you want to hear a part two. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Lovely to be here.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.